For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to the Dynasty Dugout Show, a podcast covering all things minor league baseball. Get a front row seat to the action with everything you need to know about the future stars of Major League Baseball. And now, here's your host, Chris Clegg.
Good morning, everybody. It is Friday. We made it to the weekend. It's March 15th. We're just 5 days away from regular season baseball. Cannot believe that it is almost here. We keep moving through our team-by-team prospect breakdowns. Today we have the Rays. We took a short break yesterday to talk about spring breakout, which was awesome yesterday. Great start. Obviously, we had the Rangers and the Reds. We saw Rhett Lauder on the mound for the first time, which was fantastic. He looked really good. Hit 95 apparently on the stadium gun through two innings and had two Ks. We also saw Cam Collier hit a big home run off of Emiliano Tioto. So that was fun to see. We also had the most anticipated game probably of the whole weekend with the Pirates and the Orioles. And it certainly lived up to hype. Paul Skeens did what you would definitely expect him to do in a one inning sample, and that was average 101 on the fastball. He threw a dirty changeup to get Jackson Holliday swinging, which was a lot of fun too. So off to a great start so far. We're going to talk the Rays today is our next team in the series. I will link it in the chat. Feel free to interact, ask any questions that you might about the Rays and their farm system. If you're visiting the room, we would just ask if you could create a playback account, join the room. It would go a long way for me. I appreciate you all, as always, for spending your time with me and taking time to listen to the Dynasty Dugout Show. Be sure to go to thedynastydugout.com. Check out all that we offer, from the Daily Dynasty Digest to rankings to much, much more. But let's dive in. The Rays have a ton of talent. Let's break it all down. Starting at the top, we have Junior Caminero. No surprise, he has been a guy for some time. They absolutely got a steal here from the Cleveland Guardians in this trade. Moving Tobias Myers, who was on a 40-man crunch at the time, to get Caminero, who had been absurdly good dating back to his DSL days, was an absolute heist here. He was listed at 157 for some time, and everybody knew this kid was so much bigger, so much more powerful than that, and it showed. We saw him last year really take off. There was plenty of talk preseason that this would be the year, and as a 20-year-old, he put up some of the best power in all of baseball. He hit 31 homers in 2023. That was just in 117 games. He posted elite exit velocities. His 90th percentile exit velocity of 111 ranked among top five in all hitters in all of baseball. The power is evident to all fields. He goes opposite over the fence with just the flick of the wrist. We would have people say, oh man, he's going opposite field too much. It's not going to be sustainable. But who cares? When you get to that kind of power to the opposite field, you're certainly going to get to it to the poolside. The contact rates were actually pretty good for a player of his caliber with power, 73% overall and a zone contact rate north of 80%. No, he's not going to hit 324 like he did last year in the minors, but he's fully capable of being a 270 hitter consistently. We're talking elite barrel control. He's going to take a walk. Speed's not going to be part of his game, but you don't really need speed to be part of Junior Caminero's game because the power comes so easy. I look at his profile, and I don't think the Rays can keep this kid down for very long. It is absolutely special power. I saw it firsthand last year. It was really, really encouraging to see. And I'm going to pull up this video because he hit this oppo home run that I saw in Greenville on a pitch that was low and away. And it was just like so easy to get to that power. I was just shocked by the kind of power that we saw from him. Here we go. This pitch located pretty well. And he clobbered all of it to the opposite field. Easy, easy, easy. There's also the poolside power. Saw him hit one off the Green Monster to the poolside while he was in Greenville. I'm not sure exactly where that video is, but it was a nice open face swing of Caminero. But regardless, I think you were looking at someone that gets to easy power consistently, that you'll never have to worry about the kind of power that you'll get from him, and the contact is good enough to make it work. Got a comment, I drafted Caminero in the fourth round of a startup. That's really good value. I think you'll be really happy with that. I have him ranked around 30th for Dynasty, so I don't think you have to wait long for contribution from Junior Caminero because the skills are there. And I don't know. I mean, I know they're playing some games. I know they say he needs some more development, but does he really? Like, if we're honest, he really doesn't need more development. But anyway, let's keep going to Curtis Meade, who, man, Meade might just become the new Michael Bush who gets consistently blocked. He's a data darling. He's a great story. We're talking about somebody that signed out of Australia in 2018, and he was later traded to the Rays. The pandemic obviously set him back, but he moved back to Australia during 2020 and played professional baseball there. While there was no minor leagues, Meade chose to play professionally in Australia. And that's really when he began to take off. Last year, he was injured, so I'm not putting a lot of stock into his injured year, but I've seen a lot of Meade, and Meade is really, really talented. He played 24 games with the Rays last year. And in AAA, he slashed .294, .385, .515 with 9 homers and 32 extra base hits. We're talking really good contact. Year over year, the contact has been really good. It was an 88% zone contact rate last year, which is plus. And the overall contact rate of 82% is rather good as well. So you look at that profile that Meade brings to the table, it's a contact-first profile. He doesn't chase. He's going to get on base at a high clip. But the interesting thing is he has power. Two straight seasons, we've seen Curtis Meade have 9th percentile exit velocities of 106 miles an hour, which is really, really good. Those numbers are plus. You're looking at 25 home run pop consistently with that kind of profile. Curtis Meade, to me, is one that when he finally gets to the majors and plays consistently, we're going to see the true skills. He hits the ball to all fields well. It's been the case since really 2021. Saw him in the Arizona Fall League back then, and he was doing some really, really good things. Here's a video that I got from him multiple years ago of him going opposite field, showing good aggression. Start that over. It's easy power to all fields. He's hitting the ball where it's pitched. The barrel control is really, really good with Curtis Meade. And so I look at this profile and really believe that he's going to be somebody. I wonder when does he get his chance? And that's my biggest question with Meade. But I think we're looking at somebody that is going to hit a lot of doubles. He's going to hit homers. Between 2022 and 2023, he got 141 games, 52 doubles, and 24 homers. Not going to have much speed, but the OBP skills will be there. He's going to hit for average, and he's going to hit for power as well. So Curtis Meade is a guy. Shane Boz, technically maybe prospect eligible some places, maybe not others, but he's only thrown 40 MLB innings, so he's under that threshold of the 50 that most require for him to bounce off of list. Boz, unfortunately, set back more by injury. I was hoping that he would be up and ready to go on opening day and be a really, really good contributor for the Rays. The rotation honestly could use this contribution immediately, but I think that at the end of the day, Boz, when he does return, is going to be really, really good. Now, he took a big step forward with command, which was the biggest question prior to going down with injury. But fastball sits 96. It's a ton of life up at the top of the zone. He can touch high 90s really easily. The fastball sits upper 80s. It's a pretty basic slider movement profile, but it does get on hitters quickly. It has a late break, and it's one that works pretty well. Boz ultimately has shown improvement with the changeup. It sits in that similar velocity band to the slider, but he did not use it often. He'll throw a curve on occasion. It's a little more sweepy with downward action. And at the end of the day, we don't know what he's going to look like coming back from TJ. But there's high-end starting pitcher potential here. And I just really believe that Boz is a major contributor when he does get back on the field. Hopefully, health will be on his side, because the talent level is certainly here with Shane Boz. Carson Williams is an interesting player. Williams is one who ultimately is a glove first. He is a very smooth shortstop, very good skills. He is one that also has really good power and speed. I think you look at this profile and say, if he makes more contact, especially against breaking balls, then he could really take off. He has everything that you want to see in a profile, minus just some contact concerns. I really like what I've seen from Carson Williams. I've seen him in high A and again in the AFL last year. And he exhibits really good skills to all fields. He hits the ball where it's pitched. The power comes really easily with Carson Williams. He's a good kid. He's down to earth. He really has a desire to get better. But he's also a type of guy that doesn't put too much pressure on himself. He struggled from time to time with breaking balls in the AFL. And when asked about interviews, I'm just here to get better and work on my game. We're working on those things. The numbers don't necessarily matter, and that's the truth. I ultimately think that this is the kind of profile that you want to bet on now, because the cost has dropped a little bit with Williams, and I think it's a good buying opportunity for him. So to get Carson Williams at a depleted cost right now, I'll take it all day, because there's 25 homer, 25 stolen base potential, and the average, even if it settles in at like 260, that'll play. I'm not ultimately worried about that with Williams. Xavier Isaac's a fun profile. Very big frame, 6'4", 240. But with Isaac, the interesting thing is he's very athletic for his size. When you look at him, you're like, oh man, this guy is just going to be a corner infield masher, but he's also pretty athletic too. When you look and you watch him, seeing him close up in person, I was pretty impressed by the athleticism. I thought he moved pretty well for his size. And I saw him hit off some lefties a couple times and made good contact. So I've got some film I'll pop up of him. Had several looks at him last year when he was in Charleston. And a kind of masher that, he could get to 30 home runs pretty easily. So here's some open face and from behind the plate looks at him. He got kind of jammed on that ball. But ultimately, the contact skills, he's going to hit the ball where they're pitched. The biggest question for me is that contact. They've shown to be questionable at times. 67% overall contact rate. It kind of dipped a little bit in the second half to 65%. He had a zone contact rate of 77%, but we are talking about a young kid. Very good strike zone recognition. 22% chase rate led to a 15% walk rate and very high on base skills. So when you look at this profile, it's interesting because the contact could tick up with Isaac. There's certainly that potential for him to improve the contact skills. The plate discipline, really, really good. I think the OBP is a really good asset here with Isaac. And then when you look at the rest of the profile, obviously the power is elite. We're talking a 108 ninth percentile exit velocity. We mentioned Caminero was in the 110, 111 range. And Isaac hit some home runs as high as 115. Those are really elite power. I mentioned the athleticism. He stole 12 bases on 12 attempts last year. Now, I don't expect Isaac to do that regularly, but I will say it's pretty interesting to look at Xavier Isaac and say, this kid's a pretty good athlete for a really big frame. So look for Isaac to be a 30 home run type bat. Really, really good skills with Xavier Isaac. Let's jump to Santiago Suarez, who is a pitcher that I think could make a massive leap here. He is one that I have loved for some time. I got some intel on him last year, some data out of Complex Ball, or maybe it was in the DSL, where I was like, okay, this kid is legit. He had a really good riding fastball. And ultimately, I was like, all right, this guy may be somebody. So I have some video from, I didn't get to see this guy live last year, unfortunately. Hopefully, I get to see him this year. My friend Jesse Roach does have some good film of him that I will pop up here on the screen so you can see. We're looking at a big fastball that's really explosive through the zone. It's really, I mean, really easy velocity too. You can see that there. There's not a lot of effort, and he's currently sitting in the 93 to 95 range, but we're looking at like 18 inches of IVB, which you can see on here. Like, it almost like has the rise effect, like very easy fastball velo with really good ride. Look at the secondaries here. Saw a video there as well. Here's a curveball from him pop up. It's got some, I mean, really good downward action on it. Some good sweeping action as well. I really like this profile a lot. I think as an 18-year-old, it's a pretty impressive arsenal. The changeup fluctuates between 83 and 85, has good depth and fading action, but I do think he'll need to throw it for some strikes more often. But the curveball gets whiffs. He's athletic. The delivery's consistent. I really like Santiago Suarez to potentially take off this year as he moves up levels. He gets more recognition. I'm rather in on him. I think you should be too, because the upside is there. He's a mid-rotation guy if all clicks. I'm a big fan of this profile. Brayden Taylor, kind of a boring guy. He doesn't get a lot of love because he's not super flashy, but he's kind of just a sum-of-the-parts type that gets the job done. I do think Brayden Taylor is a bit underrated when we think about the kind of player that he can be, just because of that sense. Like, there's no like super standout tools here with Brayden Taylor, but he does hit for contact. He can get to power. He's going to steal you bases. He's actually a very impressive athlete too. I'll pop up some film on him. He did a lot of good things in my life. Look, after the draft and the, honestly, like lefty on lefty stuff was really good too. So let's pop up this film on Brayden Taylor, who I actually think is going to be a really good player consistently year over year. Here he gets jammed, but he hits it where it's pitched and drops it in for a base hit. Here's the open face look at that. There's good barrel control, honestly, all around. Lefty on lefty again. Pulls that one into the gap for a double, if I'm not mistaken. I really love Taylor's profile overall. You see, it's very simple operation too. The open face look, very clean, very simple. Just a little weight shift back, easy leg kick, and just controls that barrel through the zone. So with Taylor, yeah, it's kind of what you see is what you get. There's really good contact. He doesn't chase out of the zone. I mean, it was less than a 15% chase rate last year between his time at TCU and the majors. The power really blossomed last year, and with metal, had a 91-mile-an-hour average EV and a 105/90. He also was very efficient base stealer. He was caught just once in 40 stolen base attempts in college, and he was an 11-for-11 in his pro debut. So, you know, while he's not the fastest runner, very efficient on the base pass, which I think is great. Something to really like there. He controls the zone well, as you can see. He's not going to chase out of the zone. He's going to post really high OBPs. And I think there's potential for him to be like a 20 home run, 15 stolen base type with really good on-base skills. So Brayden Taylor, very underrated by, but one that I'd be taking advantage of where you can. Maybe you can get an affordable trade for him, because I do think that he's probably somebody that pops on more radars next year as we look at a bigger pro sample. An arm to look at here, Yadiel Curet, spelled C-U-R-E-T. He really popped on radars last year. He did not throw many innings in 2021 and 2022, and he surprised a lot last year. He threw 104 innings. He had a 2.94 ERA with 144 strikeouts. He dominated single-A hitters with an upper 90s fastball with ride. I mean, it's very low VAA. It's really hard to pick up for hitters. The velocity holds throughout starts. He can sit anywhere between 96 and touch 99 at times. We're looking at an upper 80s slider with really solid vertical and horizontal movement. And he'll flash a changeup, but he's mostly a two-pitch guy, which is the concerning aspect with Currett. But low effort delivery, he repeats it well. The strike throwing ability and the lack of a third pitch does give some questions about where he lies as far as being a starter or not. Johnny DeLuca, still prospect eligible. He showed really good contact skills in the minors. There were some interesting questions about the power, but you know, he did hit 22 home runs and 25 home runs in 2021 and 2022. He had a good 2023, which earned him the call-up to Los Angeles. The contact skills are where he thrives. Over 80% overall, 90% in-zone contact. He doesn't chase often. And while he hit for power in the home run department, the EVs don't necessarily reflect it. He's right about he's below average exit velocity, and he's right at average ninth percentile. Their speed, he's stolen 10 bases or more in each season since 2019. I really think that his ability is and his long-term outlook is going to depend on, can he find playing time? Can we see him get to the playing time that he needs in Tampa? And I don't know if that's the case because he couldn't crack in Los Angeles for various reasons, but Tampa's also pretty crowded as well. This is a team that consistently platoons. I'm not really sure where things lie for Johnny DeLuca. Move on to Colton Ledbetter, a draftee last year. He was actually in the Southern Conference at Samford before transferring to Mississippi State in 2023. He vaulted his draft stock up significantly, hit 12 homers, he stole 17 bases, and he put up a really good slash of 320, 452, 574. He's a patient hitter. He did not chase often out of the zone, just a 15% chase rate. And he posted overall contact rates of 83% and 91% in zone. So really good numbers there. Ledbetter is an interesting player. You know, the power comes to the poolside with metal. It was just 104 mile an hour ninth percentile and just an 86 mile an hour average exit velocity, which does leave questions about the kind of power that he can get to. I think that this year will be a big one for Ledbetter to see. Like, the frame certainly suggests that he could add more power to it. You look, and I really like the profile here with Ledbetter from an OBP standpoint. But at the end of the day, you know, where does the power lie? And I think Ledbetter does need to show us that he can get to some more power before we can confidently kind of buy into the skill set. Moving forward, we have Adrian Santana, who was a draftee last year, switch hitter, smaller frame at 5'11", 155. He did add some pop in his senior year of high school. He had 11 home runs, kind of put him on mini radars. He's always been a slick shortstop, though. That is where the potential is. I think that we know that he's going to be a big-time shortstop with the glove. The question is, what kind of power does he get to? Last year, a 6.16, 60-yard dash, 70-grade runner that we're looking at with Adrian Santana. So the skills there are glove and speed. We'll know a lot more about him this year. Can the power get to 10 homers? We'll see. Can he make enough contact? I guess we will see. Dominic Keegan is another one who can play first. He can play catcher. I think the Rays are going to give him a shot to play catcher as long as they can. We're looking at Dominic Keegan as somebody that I really love the skills of. I mean, he showed some really good things in the Arizona Fall League last year. I really enjoyed getting to see him. He was one that mashed. He had a big bomb off of Ricky Tiedemann, which is encouraging. The swing, one that I really, really like. The power actually comes pretty easy in this profile. Pop the video up on the screen here for you guys watching the live feed. I mean, you can see, like, he just absolutely gets a hold of this ball and sends it into orbit. Keegan showed really good exit velocity numbers last year. He does not chase often at all, and the contact skills are really good. It is a high OBP profile with solid contact as well. I think Keegan gets to enough power to play. The interesting thing is, how well does he play behind the plate? Because last year, it was a mixed bag. I saw him allow 10 stolen bases in one game in the Arizona Fall League, which is pretty wild. So hopefully we see him, more consistent with throwing out runners. And at the end of the day, can he stick? We shall see. Keep going, moving forward with the Rays prospects. Austin Shenton is one that I think is really under the radar here. I mean, he played most of his career in Seattle, and he's flown under the radar. He was traded to the Rays and has really shined, in my opinion. Injuries limited him in 2022, just 52 games, but really popped in 2023. He spent time between AA and AAA, slashing .304, .423, .584, and he had 29 home runs. The underlying data, not as great, though. The zone contact of 80% and the overall contact rate hovering around 70% overall is interesting. The power numbers, they check in around average, 88-mile-an-hour average EV and 103-mile-an-hour 9th percentile. Most of Shenton's knock is that he is older for his age. He's older for the level. He's 26 years old. He does have strong splits, but he did find himself with an 897 OPS against lefties and a 1005 OPS against righties. So with Shenton, power for sure, contact skills, they're okay. Not going to steal you any bases. Oslavis Basabe, shortstop, not talked about as much in the Rays farm system, but that doesn't mean he's not a really solid prospect. He reached the majors as a 22-year-old last year. I know it was situational, but that's nothing short of impressive. I mean, he hit .324 in 2022, and then he spent the entire year last year in AAA, in which he slashed .296, .351, .426. He had just 4 homers and 16 stolen bases. And while you may look at the profile and say there's no power here with Basabe, the exit velocities were actually not so bad. Looking at an 89-mile-an-hour average EV, a 103-mile-an-hour 9th percentile, which is pretty encouraging. It's both close to MLB average. The issue is the ground balls. 53% ground ball rate last year. It was actually the lowest of his career since rookie ball. He's aggressive. He chases often, but he counteracts it with good contact skills, 85% end zone, 78% overall. Basabe has decent speed, but he's not stealing bases often. Let's go to Mason Montgomery, a left-handed pitcher who maybe is flying a bit under the radar. He was a sixth-rounder in 2021 out of Texas Tech. He's been a really good innings eater. He threw 124 innings in both 2022 and 2023, and he has a career ERA of 2.95. Walks have been a bit of an issue, 11%. That's livable, but 27% strikeout rate to pair with it is solid. He relies on some deception from the left side. He sits just around 91, but there's been some rumors that he's been ticking up a bit. That would be encouraging if we see that tick up near 93. He does get a lot of ride on it, 18 inches of IVB. It's quite high considering the velocity. Does not miss bats often with it. We'll see how it plays. The changeup ultimately gets a lot of running action. He does not get a lot of drop with it, but it does run. It plays well off the fastball. He generates ground balls. He throws a slider with shorter breaking action. The command ultimately comes and goes, but Montgomery has to be precise with his location. I think this is a Rays type arm that just comes up to the majors and it's like, oh man, they did it again. I certainly think this could be the case with Mason Montgomery. Moving forward, Braylor Guerrero is my pick in this system to break out. I fully believe that this is the type of profile that is ready to take off this year. He was a big-time signee in 2023, landed a $3.7 million bonus as a 16-year-old. Already 6'2", well filled out. He's got high end bat speed. He posted an exit velocity as high as 111 miles an hour last year, which is really, really good for his age. He did play just 7 games in the DSL last year, so we didn't have a great look at him, but there is a big power hitting corner outfielder here in Braylor Guerrero. Healthy 2024. Probably see him at the complex. Maybe he goes back to DSL. I don't think so. But if he's back and he looks good, he's going to soar upwards. So I would be very interested in Braylor Guerrero with the opportunity. Trey Morgan, probably one of the more interesting profiles in the 2023 draft. He was a third rounder out of LSU. He's a defense and hit tool first profile, which is interesting. He makes a lot of contact, 86% overall, 89% in zone, which is really, really good. I think that's easily plus or better. He does flash power at times. He hit 9 home runs at LSU last year in 69 games. He had an 89 mile an hour average EV and a 104 mile an hour 90th percentile. Probably ticks down a bit with Wood, but he will need to lift the ball more consistently, especially on hard hit balls. He's shown some versatility. He's played some outfield. He's played some first base, but the OBP skills will be the carrying tool here with Trey Morgan. Look at another profile in Cole Wilcox, who is a major overslot in 2020, $3.3 million bonus in the third round. Pretty impressive. He was traded to Tampa from San Diego in the Blake Snell deal. Wilcox needed TJ. He missed a lot of time, but he was healthy in 2023 through 107 innings, but the results weren't great. It came with just a 5.23 ERA, 99 strikeouts, and 44 walks. Yeah, the stuff was regressed, for sure. I mean, pre-Tommy John, he would sit around 95, touch 99, but now he was sitting closer to low 90s. He'd get up to 95 on occasion, but hopefully that ticks up this year, another year away from TJ. Look forward at the changeup. It's really good against lefties. He'll run away from lefties. I think the slider has good depth sitting in the upper 80s. It has the most whiffs of any pitch in his arsenal. At the end of the day, command must progress. I mean, he walked 10% of batters. He threw strikes at a below average clip. I think that 2024 will be a telling year, especially considering he progressed over his final 9 starts, had a 3.72 ERA with a walk rate below 9%. So encouraging signs there. I'm sure at this point everybody's wondering, where is Chandler Simpson? He stole 94 bases last year. He is floated among some very high prospect names due to the speed. I mean, he stole 94 bases across 115 games. The contact skills are really good. He made contact on 90% of pitches he saw. He walked more than he struck out. So elite power, he's not elite power, elite speed, elite contact. The issue is the power is probably 20 grade. Simpson has a single, one home run in his entire collegiate and professional career. One. And you might think there's gap-to-gap power, but among his 130 hits last year, just 18 of them were extra base hits. It's a ground ball heavy, slap hitting kind of approach where Simpson uses his speed to just beat out ground balls. You know, it's 80 grade speed, 70 grade contact. I think you can kind of dream on this profile, but there's really not a whole lot of power to speak of, and I'm not sure the fantasy impact here. Maybe he becomes an everyday guy. I'm not sure that's the case with Simpson. We shall see. Trevor Harrison, a draftee last year, was 17 at the time of the draft. Fifth round pick, impressive frame at 6'4", 225. So there's plenty of projection to dream on here. With a fastball that already sits 93 to 95. High spin rates, high IVB up in the zone. He mixes a changeup in the low 80s. He throws a downer curveball in the mid 70s. He did not attend a lot of showcase events, which is probably why his stock wasn't as high as it was in the draft. Because to put it bluntly, a lot of the draft is going to showcases, paying money, and it's a lot about who you know. Harrison did not attend a lot of showcases. But at the end of the day, he's a very intriguing arm. The Rays may have found something special with. So I like that profile a lot here. A couple other guys to hit on. Cooper Kinney, first rounder in 2021, 34th overall pick. He missed all the 2022 season. And while it took him some time to get going last year, he finished with a 274, 341, 393 slash with 10 home runs. Seems kind of pedestrian, but in the second half, Cooper Kinney hit 313 with a 375 OBP and a 451 slug, 5 home runs, and 200 plate appearances. You know, the bat speed was solid that I saw from the left side. He made good contact. He posted a 75% contact rate, last year. He's pretty aggressive, but he does control the barrel well through the zone. So I still like Cooper Kenny a good bit. Maybe he pops on more boards this year. And then we have Shane Sasaki, who missed over half of the 2023 season after a breakout 2022, in which he slashed 324, 410, 497. 9 home runs, 47 stolen bases. The contact rates are pretty average, but he did steal 16 bases last year. He was caught 4 times. And then in the AFL, he was successful on 13 of 13 attempts. There's a little pop in Sasaki's profile too. It's more a gap-to-gap profile. I saw him do some good things, like he hits a lot of doubles and triples. He may be a fourth outfield type, but this is a pretty interesting player in Shane Sasaki. We'll talk about Willy Vasquez, who I actually picked as a breakout entering 2023 because the underlying data was very good. Ultimately, the results didn't follow, and we saw him hit just 233 with a 310 OBP and a 393 slug. He hit 16 homers. He stole 17 bases. The power and speed are intriguing here, but at the end of the day, yeah, I'm not really sure where things lie with him. The contact rates will have to improve. If they don't, maybe he doesn't get to that power and speed that we hope that he will. So Vasquez, interesting skill set, much like Brock Jones, very similar here. He brings power, he brings some speed. Ultimately, though, the concern with him is the contact. He walks at a good clip, but he made contact on his 60% of pitches last year. Vasquez was 70, and I'm concerned about it. So ultimately, I think that's a little bit concerning for me. Can Brock Jones make more contact? Yeah, I think it's very possible. But for him to get to the power and speed that we know he has, he will especially need to hit for more contact. Several other names here that I think have the potential to kind of move up some. Trevor Martin's kind of underrated arm, not flashy. You'll see him in the spring breakout game. He's fine. Carlos Colmenares, obviously was their big shortstop signee a couple of years ago that has not panned out, but there's still some skills to like with Colmenares. Heriberto Hernandez moved off catcher to the outfield, but he has some pop. Still like Ronnie Simone a bit, an infielder. He'd be interesting. And Gary Gil Hill, a right-handed pitcher who does have some intrigue. But that's going to do it for the Rays farm system. A lot of good names at the top. But that's going to wrap us up. Thank you for hanging out today. If you have not already, if you would, rate, subscribe to the show. I would greatly appreciate it. Thank you again for hanging out with us. Hope you all have a great day.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.